If your symptoms are not better and you continue to score high on the digestion quiz after 6 weeks on the self-care plan, follow the medical care plan outlined in How to Work with Your Doctor to Get What You Need at BloodSugarSolution.com. Step 5. Maximize detoxification. Toxins are often invisible. They're in our air and our water, and in the food we eat. Slowly, daily, inevitably, our bodies accumulate more and more toxins. A high body burden of toxins can prevent you from losing weight, or worse, damage your metabolism and lead to a weight loss plateau. Living clean and green is a cornerstone of creating health and losing weight and preventing diabetes. You learn how to do that in Chapter 21. However, some people have accumulated such a high body burden of persistent organic pollutants like pesticides, PCBs, phthalates, and flame retardants, or heavy metals like mercury, lead, and arsenic, that they need additional support for detoxification using detox-boosting foods, supplements, herbs, saunas, and sometimes chelating medication to get rid of heavy metals, which has to be done under a doctor's supervision. If you qualify for self-care or medical care on the detoxification quiz in Chapter 11, then you should add these additional steps to your program. Self-care plan. Our bodies have a natural intelligence that is designed to help us mobilize and transform toxins. Given today's toxic environment, it's important that you learn how to boost your body's own detoxification system. And it's not that difficult. If you scored over 6 on the toxicity quiz, do the following. Eat more cruciferous vegetables. That's broccoli, kale, collards, cabbage, etc. Garlic, green tea, turmeric, and whole eggs. They contain phytonutrient and detox-boosting compounds. Add them daily to your diet. Other great detox foods are cilantro, celery, parsley, dandelion greens, citrus peels, pomegranate, and rosemary. Take glutathione-boosting supplements such as NAC or N-acetylcysteine, milk thistle, and vitamin C, and sweat regularly using saunas. Hyperthermic therapy or heat therapy. People all over the world have used sauna and heat therapies for hundreds of years to purify mind and body. Recently, the Environmental Protection Agency found sauna therapy helpful for supporting excretion of heavy metals like lead, cadmium, mercury, and fat-soluble chemicals like PCBs, PBBs, and HCBs. It also improves quality of life in patients with type 2 diabetes. It helps lower blood pressure, lower weight, and reduce stress. I think of it as a lazy man's way to exercise. Follow these guidelines for safe detoxification. More intensive detoxification protocols should be used only in conjunction with a physician or healthcare practitioner. If you are on multiple medications or have a chronic illness, check with your doctor before starting heat therapy and start slowly. Drink at least 16 ounces of purified water before entering the sauna or steam bath. Drink another 16 ounces after the sauna or steam. Begin with 3 and build up to 5 to 7 saunas per week. Start with 10 minutes during your first treatment and increase by 5 minutes during each subsequent treatment until you reach a maximum of 30 to 45 minutes. You should take cold dips or rinses in a shower every 10 minutes. Keep the sauna or steam temperature under 150 degrees. For more intensive detoxification, use heat therapy daily for 6 weeks. Use once a week maintenance therapy afterwards. If you take saunas or steam baths more than 3 or 4 times a week, I recommend an additional multi-mineral supplement to replace what you sweat out. This contains not vitamins, but extra minerals like zinc, magnesium, potassium, sodium, and calcium, which you lose during sweating. Infrared saunas work at lower temperatures. They can be more effective and better tolerated than regular saunas. I have a Sunlighten sauna our whole family uses. See bloodsugarsolution.com/sunlighten-saunas. Get the toxins off your skin after the sauna or steam. Use a hot shower with soap or even a skin brush. Some people have symptoms from the release of toxins, including skin rashes, headaches, fatigue, nausea, irritable bowel, confusion, or memory problems. If you experience any of these side effects, take buffered vitamin C or get the help of a functional medicine or integrative medicine practitioner. Medical care plan. If your score suggests that you should seek medical care, your practitioner may test you for heavy metals like mercury and lead, and recommend additional detoxification strategies, including supplements, intravenous nutrients, and chelation. I've found that over 80% of the patients coming to my practice, who admittedly are sicker than average, have elevated levels of mercury, and 40% have very elevated levels. But the body hides these metals in organs and tissues, so regular blood tests aren't accurate. I recommend a special test called the chelation challenge with medications such as DMSA or DMPS, which pulls out hidden stored mercury and other metals and gives a better picture of your total body burden. If you have elevated levels, there are medical treatments to help clear metals from your body. In How to Work with Your Doctor to Get What You Need, which is available at BloodSugarSolution.com, I explain the tests that can assess your body's own detox system and levels of organic pollutants and heavy metals. I also explain treatment options. This is often a critical step in helping people lose weight and correct diabetes. Step 6. Enhance energy metabolism. By following the basic plan in the Blood Sugar Solution, you already will be doing things to enhance your metabolism. Eating a plant-based antioxidant-rich diet, exercising, reducing toxic exposures, and lowering inflammation. By supplementing with a mitochondrial protective and antioxidant set of compounds, we can preserve and restore our energy metabolism to optimal function. If you scored above 6 on the energy metabolism quiz, follow the steps below. Supplements to boost energy and reduce oxidative stress. Most people with diabetes have poorly functioning mitochondria and need help burning calories and fat. A number of special nutrients become essential under certain conditions of stress, toxicity, and aging. Taken as supplements, they can dramatically improve energy production and mitochondrial function, as well as protect the mitochondria from damage. Alpha-lipoic acid has been well studied and is the most important mitochondrial nutrient for weight loss, blood sugar control, and diabetic neuropathy. That is why I include it in the basic plan of supplements, but higher doses are often needed for more advanced diabetes. Here's what you should add to your regimen. 300 to 600 milligrams of alpha-lipoic acid twice a day, once before breakfast and once before dinner. 300 to 500 milligrams of L-carnitine twice a day, once with breakfast and once with dinner. L-carnitine helps fat burning in the mitochondria. It can also help diabetic neuropathy. 100 milligrams of coenzyme Q10 once a day with breakfast. Coenzyme Q10 helps lower fasting insulin and glucose levels and improves blood pressure and antioxidant status. 400 milligrams of resveratrol twice a day, once with breakfast and once with dinner. Resveratrol, found in dark grapes, improves insulin function through its effect on sirtuins, these master metabolism control genes. It's also being studied as a compound that can slow aging. New research has found that branched-chain amino acids can be helpful in improving mitochondrial function, in creating new mitochondria, and improving insulin sensitivity. They also improve muscle size, physical endurance, and motor coordination, and even extend lifespan in animals. The research is based on a product I use that comes from Germany. The doses are one packet or 5.5 grams twice a day dissolved in water. At BloodSugarSolution.com, I explain how to use this and where you can find it. Medical care plan. A functional medicine doctor can check your mitochondrial function and oxidative stress through a urine test that measures organic acids. He or she may recommend additional supplements such as D-ribose, creatine, glutathione, and arginine. To learn more about testing and treatment for your mitochondria, see How to Work with Your Doctor to Get What You Need at BloodSugarSolution.com. Step 7. Soothe your mind. Stress finds you. You don't have to look for it. It's an unavoidable part of life. But deep and profound relaxation and calming of the nervous system do not happen automatically. We are not taught the antidote for our chronic stress. We try to look for it. We drink alcohol. We numb our emotions with sugar or junk food. We zone out in front of the television or computer screen. But these are maladaptive behaviors. They actually make the problem worse. We have no idea where to find or how to push our pause buttons. But this is key to health. We have unabated, unremitting stress. Our cortisol levels stay elevated. That's bad news because high cortisol makes you gain belly fat, and it makes you lose muscle, and it makes you hungry and crave sugar, and it causes diabetes. Everybody has a different pause button. Seek out yours. There are many wonderful resources and programs available to help you achieve this goal. This is key to long-term metabolic health. We have to make it part of our daily lives. If you scored over 7 on the stress and adrenal dysfunction quiz, the following steps may help you find balance again. If you haven't created or joined a group to support you, do it now. It can be an online group, but ideally it's with people you share your life with. Review Chapter 16 on Getting Healthy Together by Harnessing the Power of Community. To learn how to create or join your own group, go to bloodsugarsolution.com and find out more. Identify and reduce the causes of social, psychological, and physical stressors in your life. Review the journaling exercises about energy gain and energy drain. Use the exercises in Chapter 21, Relax Your Mind, Heal Your Body, or seek out the help of professional, psychotherapeutic, or medical professionals as needed. Try life coaching. It's a way of making your life more integrated and overcoming obstacles to thriving. I recommend the Handle Group to help you turn information into transformation. See bloodsugarsolution.com/handlegroup to find a coach. Incorporate one or two additional ways to push the pause button besides the belly breathing, guided visualization, restorative yoga, or stretching, such as ultra baths or saunas. You can also use my guided relaxation CDs, UltraCalm, for guided breathing exercises, imagery, and more. Try stress-balancing herbs, such as cordyceps, rhodiola root extract, and Asian ginseng root. I have found many ways to hit my pause button and have used many with my patients. You have to find out what works for you, but please, find something and do it. In the resources section at bloodsugarsolution.com, I provide more detailed recommendations. Stress-reducing supplements and herbs. Stress can deplete the nutrients needed for deep relaxation of the nervous system, including magnesium, B vitamins, and vitamin C. When you follow the basic supplement plan, you'll make sure to have enough on board. Certain plant compounds, known as adaptogens, help modulate and balance the stress response, correcting some of the negative effects of chronic stress. I most often recommend a combination supplement of cordyceps, rhodiola root extract, and Asian ginseng root extract. When taken with meals, ginseng can lower blood sugar and improve insulin function. You can add the following stress-reducing supplements to your regimen if you're imbalanced in this area. 400 milligrams of cordyceps twice a day, once with breakfast and once with dinner. 50 milligrams of rhodiola root extract twice a day, once with breakfast and once with dinner. 200 milligrams of Asian ginseng root extract twice a day, once with breakfast and once with dinner. Medical care plan. Some of my patients need more support for handling chronic stress. They may need therapy, coaching, or even medication as a short-term bridge to get through the toughest parts of life. I refer them to a good psychotherapist, a psychiatrist, or a life coach. See resources and the Blood Sugar Solution website for more information on finding appropriate help. Chapter 25, The Blood Sugar Solution Weekly Overview. Here I provide a brief summary of the main points outlined each week on the program, as well as checklists you can use as you progress. Each week, review the summary and then use the corresponding checklist to walk through the daily action items you need to complete. You can find printable or trackable versions of all of this at bloodsugarsolution.com and also in the companion PDF. Chapter 26, Get Healthy for Life. When the program's over, you may want to go out and celebrate by indulging in your favorite foods, pizza, chocolate cupcakes, a beer, or a few glasses of Chardonnay. This is a temptation you should resist. After being on a diet like this, overloading your system with bad foods can cause severe reactions. If you can't resist temptation, take it slowly and choose what you want carefully. It might be one of the most profound and painful lessons you will ever get regarding the power of food. In this chapter, I've outlined how you can modify the program to create a sustainable diet and lifestyle program for the long term. What to do about food? You should stick with all of the basic nutrition principles you learned in Chapter 19 for life. This means keeping sugar, flour, and processed foods to a minimum, including high-quality, whole food carbs, protein, and fats at every meal. Composing your meals according to the 50-25-25 principle. That's 50% vegetables, 25% lean, high-quality protein, and 25% whole grains or starchy veggies. Timing your meals in a way that makes sense for your biology by eating protein for breakfast and not eating 2 or 3 hours before bedtime, and limiting your intake of addictive substances like caffeine and alcohol. There are only two foods you need to consider reintegrating, gluten and dairy, and you have two options. Option one, stay off dairy and gluten. You can stay off gluten and dairy for as long as you wish. Despite what big food may tell you, you don't need either of these foods to stay healthy. If avoiding gluten and dairy feels good to you, then keep them out of your diet or choose them as a small treat from time to time. After you have reset your metabolism and established a pattern of eating and self-care that nourishes you, flexibility will become important. Moderation in all things is still great advice. Even if you choose to avoid gluten and dairy or other foods in the long term, it's likely there will be times in your life when you'll want to eat them or when eating them is unavoidable. Assuming they do not cause a life-threatening reaction for you, and you aren't one of the rare people for whom they trigger a spiral of overeating, this is absolutely fine. Your inner wisdom is the critical factor. Listen to your body. Staying in balance and finding a rhythm are the keys to a healthy metabolism and lifelong health. Option two, reintegrate dairy and gluten. Most people will likely want to try and reintegrate dairy and gluten in their diet, and I encourage you to at least test these foods to confirm whether or not they have been contributing to your symptoms. The key is to do this slowly and systematically. First, start with dairy. Eat it at least 2 or 3 times a day for 3 days. Track your reactions for at least 72 hours, and I'll explain how in a moment. If you have a reaction, stop dairy immediately. Wait 3 days. Now try gluten. Follow the same process you did for dairy. Eat it 2 or 3 times a day for 3 days, track your reactions for at least 72 hours, and quit if you notice a reaction. So what kind of reactions should you expect? Well, everyone's different, and many subtle reactions may occur, but here are some of the most common. Weight gain, cravings, fluid retention, nasal congestion, chest congestion, headaches, brain fog, difficulty remembering things, mood problems like anxiety, depression, or anger, sleep problems, joint aches, muscle aches, pain, fatigue, changes in your skin like acne or rashes, changes in your digestion or bowel function like bloating, gas, diarrhea, constipation, or reflux. Reactions like these may happen immediately after you consume the food or may not crop up for 72 hours. If you don't experience a reaction within 72 hours, you should be safe. If you do experience a reaction, I recommend you eliminate the offending food from your diet for 12 weeks. For most, this is enough time for the inflammation in your system to cool down and your gut to heal. After that, it's likely you'll be able to consume the food again, but it's prudent to keep it to a minimum, perhaps no more than once or twice a week at most, so that you don't reinitiate the same cycle of illness. If you still react after eliminating the food from your diet for 12 weeks, you should stay off that food for life, or see a physician, dietitian, or nutritionist skilled in managing food allergies. Tracking your symptoms is relatively simple. Just use the food log on the companion PDF or download it or use the online form at bloodsugarsolution.com. Remember, if you still test high on the inflammation quiz after 12 weeks on the program, 6 weeks of the basic plan, and an additional 6 weeks with personalization steps integrated, it may mean that you have sensitivities to more than just gluten and dairy. In this case, I recommend a more extensive elimination reintroduction program like the one outlined in the Ultra Simple Diet. In that book and the associated DVD home study course, Kickstart Your Metabolism in 7 Days, I provide a comprehensive set of guidelines for eliminating and reintegrating all the major food allergens so you can determine exactly which foods you're sensitive to. What to do about supplements? I strongly encourage you to stay on the basic supplement plan for life. If we lived in a world free of toxins, ate only real whole food, had no chronic stress, and relaxed as much as we needed to, got enough exercise, and had strong connections to our community, we wouldn't need supplements. But we don't live in that world anymore. That's why 99% of Americans are nutrient deficient. Stick to the supplement plan and you'll provide your body with many of the raw materials it needs for long-term health. A special note for those on the advanced plan. If you're on the advanced plan, you may reintroduce whole grains and fruit into your diet after the program. If you had personalization steps to complete, wait until you have completed the 12 weeks on the program, a 6-week basic plan, and another 6 with personalization included. When you do add these foods back, stick to small portions, no more than 1/2 cup of each per day. You should also monitor your weight and your blood sugar carefully as you add them. If you find yourself slipping, eliminate these foods until you fully reset your metabolism. If you are on the advanced plan, you'll need to stay on the advanced supplement plan for at least 1 year. After 1 year, you should repeat the lab tests you took before you started the program, repeat the self-assessment quiz, and evaluate your progress. If your numbers are in the ideal range and your symptoms are better, you can scale back to the basic supplement plan. If you added supplements as part of the personalization steps in Chapter 24, continue taking these for 3 to 6 months and recheck your quiz scores. You may need those supplements long term. However, if your quiz scores are no longer in the self-care or medical care category, you can stop taking them. If you're having trouble, seek out the help of a functional medicine practitioner. What to do about relaxation? If you need to ask what to do about the relaxation techniques in this program, you probably haven't been using them. Daily relaxation is critical for long-term health. Keep stress and its damaging effects at bay by continuing with the relaxation strategies you've incorporated in your life and adding new ones over time. What to do about exercise? Exercise is another part of the program you will want to continue for life. In fact, over time, you will probably want and need to amplify your exercise program. If you haven't been moving your body, just 30 minutes of daily walking will make a big difference. However, as you start to lose weight and get in shape, you will need more exercise to maintain the gains you've made and to improve your health. Work on integrating interval and strength training into your exercise program. And definitely don't forget to play. Explore new and exciting ways to move your body. You may be one of those people who hates to exercise, but I feel certain you can find activities that are not only nourishing, but fun. Living clean and green is one of the best ways to protect your health, the health of our planet, and our children's future. Follow the advice in Chapter 23 and integrate as many of the suggestions as you can over time. What to do about personalization? After you've worked through the steps in Chapter 24, for an additional 6 to 12 weeks, retake the self-assessment quiz for any of the steps in which you originally had an imbalance. Many of you find that you no longer have imbalances and consequently don't need to continue the suggestions in the self-care plan or the medical care customizations. In that case, you can choose just to stop the personalization. If you do still qualify for self-care or medical care, you should continue the steps you've been taking. You may also choose to seek the help of a functional or integrative medical practitioner to assist you in integrating additional treatments into your plan. See more information on additional tests and treatment plans in the online guide, How to Get What You Need from Your Doctor, at bloodsugarsolution.com. What to do about testing? Finding and working with the doctor is important during the program. You should monitor your lab tests every 2 to 3 months, repeating your abnormal lab tests. Eventually, you can scale back this testing regimen to once every 6 months or once a year. With time, you'll learn how your body works and how to work with it rather than against it, and you will need less and less medical supervision and care. What to do if the program isn't working? Let me state the obvious. Getting and staying healthy in our modern world is a heroic feat. It's a subversive and revolutionary act. we have to navigate dangerous food landscapes, resist carefully designed temptations at every turn, fight marketing that goes right after our primitive hardwired survival impulses, and fend off food pushers, saboteurs, and 1,000 distractions online, on television, and in other media. You need to cultivate your survival skills and a plan of attack against these obstacles to be successful. If you can identify and preempt these landmines, you will become less discouraged and have more dramatic results. Now, there are 5 reasons why the program might not work. The first is problems with diet. Often people think they're eating a low-sugar, low-refined flour, low-carbohydrate diet, when in fact, they aren't. Things can sneak in, such as a little too much sugary fruit or a high-carbohydrate breakfast such as oatmeal. These foods may be thought of as healthy, but they can cause problems for many. So go on the advanced plan and see what happens. No grains, no fruit, no starchy vegetables for 6 weeks. Carefully monitoring and analyzing your diet is critical. Reading labels is essential. Even better, eat only fresh food without labels. Reason number 2, inadequate or inefficient exercise. If you have never exercised, small amounts of exercise create large benefits, especially at the initial stages of conditioning. However, as you progress and get healthier, you need a higher intensity of exercise to achieve the same benefit. For example, someone who's 300 pounds and has never taken a walk in his life can walk a block and get an extreme workout, whereas a marathon runner would need to run 10 miles at a 5-minute pace to get an equivalent workout. As you get into shape, increase your exercise intensity and duration, and add interval training to continue your improvements in weight, blood sugar, and insulin. Chapter 22 guides you on how to do interval training. If you haven't started strength training, start now. 20 minutes, 2 to 3 times a week. Hidden food sensitivities and gluten intolerance or celiac disease. Eliminating gluten and dairy for 6 weeks is a key strategy in the foundation of the blood sugar solution. However, sometimes people have other food allergies or other sensitivities, and a more comprehensive elimination diet is needed. In my book, The Ultra Simple Diet, an elimination program is outlined to identify the degree to which food sensitivities or allergies may be driving your inflammation and your weight. Toxic overload. For many people, an accumulation of toxins from substances such as petrochemicals and heavy metals cause problems. This could be due to overexposure or genetic predispositions that make it difficult to detoxify these chemicals, or both. If this is the case for you, you may need heavy metal detoxification protocols and saunas. It is then critical to boost detoxification through various supplements, including N-acetylcysteine, milk thistle, and vitamin C. This is part of the personalization steps in Chapter 24. Note that heavy metal detoxification is a medical procedure that requires the guidance of an experienced medical professional. And the 5th reason this program may not work is continued imbalances in the 7 steps. The personalization steps outlined in week 6 are essential for many people to fully heal. Because we don't hear much about the need to focus on our specific biochemical and metabolic imbalances from our doctors or from the media, many believe that this part of the program can be safely skipped. That's not the case. The basic diet and lifestyle program outlined in the blood sugar solution is enough to help 80% of the people suffering with diabetes. However, some need further intervention, so make sure you carefully work through the quizzes and the self-care steps in the book. If you do, and you still don't see the results you hope for, it's likely to be time to seek out the help of a practitioner trained in functional or integrative medicine. You may have deeper imbalances, such as bugs in your digestive tract, low thyroid function, or other imbalances that are driving your health problems. Treating these underlying conditions is critical for complete healing. Now that you're on the road to health, I invite you to join a movement so we can create a healthier world together. Part 5, Take Back Our Health. If you want to travel swiftly, go alone. If you want to travel far, go together, an African proverb. Chapter 27, Get Healthy Together, Creating a Social Movement. Our health has been hijacked from us, taken from us slowly and quietly over the last century. Our current food, social, family, school, work, faith-based and community environments, our healthcare institutions, and our government policies make it hard for us to make healthy choices. We are presented with choices that foster bad habits, but together, getting healthy and staying healthy as possible, given the right information, the tools, the support, and collective action to take back our health. Our food choices are influenced by government subsidies for agricultural mass production of poor quality fats and sugars. The government food pyramid reflects industry interests, not science, although the 2010 Dietary Guidelines report and the new My Plate initiative take a step in the right direction, recommending a plant-based whole foods diet with less meat, sugar, and refined foods. On the other hand, the Food and Drug Administration has not protected us from harmful pharmaceutical influence. Avandia, the number one diabetes drug in the world, has been allowed to stay on the market in the United States even after it has been shown to cause 47,000 deaths from heart disease since it was introduced in 1999. During the healthcare reform process, Dr. Dean Ornish, the founder of the Preventive Medicine Research Institute, and Dr. Michael Roizen, the chief wellness officer of the Cleveland Clinic, and I helped Senators Harkin, Wyden, and Cornyn introduce the Take Back Your Health Act of 2009. This was designed to reimburse patients with heart disease, diabetes, and prediabetes for intensive lifestyle treatment. The net savings in direct healthcare costs were estimated at $930 billion over 10 years. The bill was left on the cutting room floor of the Senate in last-minute horse trading. Afterward, in a two-hour meeting with Senator Harkin, I insisted that our only goal was to have policy reflect science. He paused for a moment and remarked, "That would make too much sense. Health is a human right that's neglected and undervalued. It's time to take it back. No single change will help us take back our health. Pharmaceutical companies continually promise the next breakthrough on diabetes, obesity, and heart disease, yet we inevitably end up disappointed by new drugs' meager benefits or disillusioned by their unexpected harm. The food industry and the diet industry promise slick new quick fixes. Just eat this one thing or do this one super exercise and your problems and pounds will melt away. But there will never be one quick fix. It's the hundreds of little choices we make every day that will transform our collective health and have some good side effects, such as preventing economic collapse and climate change and environmental degradation, reinvigorating families, communities, and faith-based organizations, and reversing the epidemic of obesity and chronic disease weighing down our planet. By making choices as individuals, as families, and communities, we can force change. Demand for healthier food, for example, has convinced the giant retailer Walmart to offer organic and lower sugar and fat products. It's that kind of pressure that forces change in large swaths of the economy, including food growers and producers, and reduces the toxic burden on the environment. Through our collective action and the online tools, such as those at takebackourhealth.org, we can communicate with our elected representatives and link to resources that help us create change at the local and national levels. There are some specific steps we can take or demand through our words, actions, and votes. Contribute your own ideas at takebackourhealth.org and help build the movement for all of us to take back our health. Take action. It's time to take back our health for our bodies. One in two Americans has prediabetes or diabetes. One in three children born today will have diabetes. Chronic lifestyle preventable and treatable disease kill 50 million people a year. It's time to take action. Follow the 6-week plan in the Blood Sugar Solution. Create health through food, supplements, exercise, stress management tools, and reduced exposure to toxins, and balance your body's systems. Vote with your fork every day. What you put on your fork has the most impact on your health, our economic prosperity, and the health of the environment. And cut down on screen time. Invest more time in self-care. learning how to cook, taking a walk, dancing in your living room, trying yoga, practicing deep breathing exercises, or connecting with your loved ones or friends. Take action. It's time to take back our health for our families. You have total control over what you bring into your home and what you choose to do there. Small changes can have a big impact on your family's health and happiness and on the food industry, agriculture, and marketing practices. Eat at home. In 1900, 2% of all meals were eaten outside the home. In 2010, 50% were eaten away from the home. 1 in 5 breakfasts was a McDonald's breakfast. Family meals happen about 3 times a week, last less than 20 minutes, and are spent watching television or texting while each family member eats a different microwave food made in a different factory. We complain of not having enough time to cook, but Americans spend more time watching cooking shows on the Food Network than actually preparing their own meals. Eat together. No matter how modest the meal, create a special place to sit down together and set the table with care and respect. Family meals are a time for empathy and generosity, a time to nourish and communicate. Research shows that children who have regular meals with their parents do better in every way, from better grades to healthier relationships to staying out of trouble, and are 42% less likely to drink, 50% less likely to smoke, and 66% less likely to smoke pot. Regular family dinners protect girls from bulimia, anorexia, and diet pills. Family dinners reduce the incidence of childhood obesity. In a study on household routines and obesity in American preschool-age children, kids as young as 4 had a lower risk of obesity if they ate regular family dinners, had enough sleep, and didn't watch television on weekdays. Taking back our family dinners will help us learn how to find and prepare real food quickly and simply, teach our children how to connect, and build security, safety, and social skills meal after meal, day after day. Reclaim your kitchen. Throw out foods with high fructose corn syrup, hydrogenated fats, and sugars or fat as the first or second ingredient on the label. Fill your kitchen with fresh, real, whole, local foods whenever possible. Join a community-supported agricultural network to get a cheaper supply of fresh vegetables, or shop at nearby farmers' markets. Plant a garden. It's the tastiest, most nutritious, most environmentally friendly food you will ever eat. You can create a small garden in a box on your roof or your porch if you have limited space. Conserve, compost, and recycle. Bring your own shopping bags to the market and recycle your paper, cans, bottles, and plastic. Start a compost bucket and find out where in your community you can share this rich fertilizer. Take action. It's time to take back our health in our communities. We live in communities without sidewalks, or where it's not safe to walk down the street, or where we must walk 5 miles to find a vegetable. Many live in communities where the only grocery store is the convenience store at a gas station. We must navigate miles of aisles in grocery stores filled with different variations of sugar, fat, and salt, and coloring disguised as food, all of which are scientifically proven to cause disease and premature death. There are 10 McDonald's restaurants within 10 miles of my house, and I live in a remote country location. So, get healthy together. Small groups are a catalyst that will make everything easier. Create your own group of friends, coworkers, your church, mosque, or synagogue, or community members to support your journey to wellness. Learn how at takebackourhealth.org. Create virtual groups. Learn how to start a group on Facebook or other social networks at takebackourhealth.org. Start a dinner or a cooking club. Take turns with other family members or friends to cook healthy, tasty meals once a week. Take action. It's time to take back our health from media and food industry marketing practices. The average kid spends 7.5 hours a day in front of a screen watching billions of dollars in advertising for foods of the poorest nutritional quality. Overweight kids eat 50% of their meals in front of the television. Teaching our children every day about healthy nutrition cannot compete with the marketing onslaught. Thomas Frieden, MD, the director of the Center for Disease Control, recommends that we prohibit food marketing to children. Restrict all media marketing of liquid calories, fast food, junk food, and processed food, especially to children. Our senses are inundated with food industry marketing practices that mostly succeed in convincing us that their health-sapping options are easy, fun, and affordable and will make us stronger and happier. We've taken the bait. 1 billion cans of Coca-Cola are consumed every day around the world. In communities without health care, education, and running water or enough food, there is Coke. Food marketing directed at children should be banned. This has been done in over 50 countries across the globe, including Australia, the United Kingdom, the Netherlands, and Sweden. We should follow suit. Restrict unproven health claims on labels. Food with health claims on the label are often the least healthy. Adding a little fiber to a sugary cereal doesn't make it healthy. Will vitamin water or Gatorade, made cool by Kobe Bryant and LeBron James, make our kids super athletes or just super fat? The FDA should restrict health claims. Do a media fast. Avoid all media for a week or two with your family and create a media fast group at work or school. Take action. It's time to take back our health in our schools. Schools have become hazardous zones full of empty calories, junk food, and stripped-down physical education programs. When most school kitchens have only deep fryers, microwaves, and displays for candy and junk food at the checkout counters, how can children stay healthy? When the food served is as addictive as heroin or cocaine, who is accountable? General Jack Keane, former Vice Chief of Staff of the U.S. Army, shared with me that 70% of the applicants for the military are unfit to serve. The school lunch program was started in 1946 because military recruits were too thin to serve in the military. Now, in part because of our school lunch program, our children are too fat to serve. Help reinvent school lunch programs. The Healthy, Hunger-Free Kids Act of 2010 removes junk food from schools by applying nutrition standards to all foods sold in schools, including vending machines in the hallways, and supports access to fresh produce through farm-to-school networks, the creation of school gardens, and the use of local foods. It doesn't solve the void in education for self-care and nutrition, but it's a beginning. Watch the movie Two Angry Moms to learn how to take back the lunchroom. Support schools as safe zones. Give students access only to foods that promote health and optimal brain functioning. Support changes in zoning laws. Prevent fast food and junk food outlets from operating next to schools. Support eat-only lunchroom policies for schools. Studies have shown that when a school district prohibits eating in hallways and classrooms, children lose 10% of their body weight without any other change in diet or exercise. Build school gardens. Teach children about the origins of food and let them experience the sensory delight of real garden fresh fruits and vegetables. Support the integration of self-care and nutrition curriculum into schools. Work with your local or regional school boards to introduce programs like Mehmet Oz's Health Corps into schools around the country. Bring back basic cooking skills to schools. Make these skills part of a curriculum that includes essential life tools. Take action. It's time to take back our health in our workplaces. Workplaces are dangerous environments. Bowls of chips, fridges full of sugar-laden caffeinated sodas, cafeterias with hardly a vegetable in sight, drawers full of candy, and high-stress environments all fuel our ill health. Email and Blackberries tether us mentally and physically to work 24/7. One large company human resources director told me they were planning on blocking employees' access to email when they went on vacation. When Starbucks spends more on healthcare than on coffee beans, and General Motors spends more on healthcare than on steel, something has to change. Corporations have the most to gain by investing in creating healthier environments and building wellness programs and allowing for default choices that support health. Identify and train wellness champions in the workplace. These individuals can lead support groups for employees to get healthy together by following the Blood Sugar Solution course online. Improve workplace food culture by improving snack areas and cafeteria offerings. Provide more fresh, real food and less processed sugary food. Support workplace lunch potlucks to share the burden and the cost of creating healthy lunches and strengthen community within organizations. Develop incentives, including financial, for employees to participate in wellness programs. Safeway's Steve Bird implemented financial incentives for healthy lifestyle change for his employees called Healthy Measures. If this type of program was implemented nationally, it would shave $550 billion a year off our healthcare bill. Support the development of work-based self-care and group support programs. Companies are starting to understand that solving the problem of poor health is not a cost or a liability, but an investment opportunity. Presenteeism, being at the job but not on the job, costs companies 2 to 3 times its direct medical costs, mostly from lost productivity owing to obesity and depression-related symptoms such as fatigue, brain fog, and low motivation. Globally, companies lose $2 trillion a year in productivity from lifestyle preventable conditions. Workplace wellness efforts can yield 1% to 2,000% returns on investment. The World Economic Forum created a wellness app to show companies how much they can save by creating wellness programs. Take action. It's time to take back our health in our places of worship. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. 1 Corinthians 6, 19-20. Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church, a congregation of 30,000, made a radical assertion as we launched the Daniel Plan. God wants us to be healthy. In his sermon, he pointed out that in the world's major religious traditions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, there are teachings on ethics and compassion and spirituality and supporting the mind and spirit. But in synagogues, in churches and temples and mosques around the world, health and the body are rarely discussed. No rabbi, priest, minister, pastor, or imam encourages care of the body as well as the soul. Church and temple functions are centers of community activity, and yet they provide an abundance of poor quality, calorie-rich, starchy, sugary foods that help their members get to heaven early. Encourage care of the body as well as the soul. Social change often begins in faith-based organizations, abolition, civil rights, and human rights. But health is the most neglected of all human rights. The community, connections, and social networks that already exist within faith-based organizations can support health of the mind, spirit, and body. Add body study to Bible study groups. Incorporate body and soul into small support and study groups within faith-based communities. You can study a healthy lifestyle curriculum like the Daniel Plan at danielplan.com. Create a culture of wellness within faith-based organizations. Encourage healthy food at gatherings and events. Create fitness activities to do together and follow some of the examples we've used at Saddleback Church at danielplan.com. Take action. It's time to take back our health in our democracy. I was invited, along with other experts in prevention and wellness, to the White House Forum on Prevention and Wellness in June 2009. As part of our effort to create true healthcare change, we advocated for an interagency council to support, coordinate, and develop health promotion and wellness movements across all government agencies. In June 2010, President Obama established the National Council on Prevention, Health Promotion, and Public Health, and Senator Harkin nominated me for a presidential appointment to a 25-person group that would advise the administration and the new council. This is a step in the right direction, but there is more we can do. Send letters and e-messages to your elected representatives to support health initiatives such as eliminating unhealthy foods from all schools, childcare, and healthcare facilities, and all government institutions. The government must establish rigorous standards for school nutrition consistent with current science. Similarly, we need to create nutrition programs for other public and government-run institutions such as the military, the Veterans Administration, the Indian Health Service, and community health centers. Supporting lobby reform. We must change campaign finance laws so that corporate political donations from entities such as Big Food, Big Farming, and Big Pharma can no longer control the political process. Subsidizing the production of fruits and vegetables. Change the farm bill. Agricultural policies should support public health and encourage the production of fruits and vegetables, not commodity products like corn and soy. 80% of the government subsidies presently go to corn and soy, which are used to create much of the junk food we consume. We need to rethink subsidies and provide more for small farmers and a broad array of fruits and vegetables. Incentivizing supermarkets to open in poor communities. Poverty and obesity go hand in hand. One reason for this is the food deserts we see all around the nation. Poor people have a right to high-quality food, too. We need to create ways to provide it to them. Building the real cost of industrial food into the price. Include its impact on healthcare costs and lost productivity. Taxing sugar. We tax cigarettes and alcohol, and this helps pay for prevention and treatment programs. Sugar is at least as addictive, if not more so. Scientists suggest a penny an ounce tax on sugar-sweetened beverages. This would reduce sugar consumption, obesity, and healthcare costs, and provide revenue to support programs for the prevention and treatment of obesity and chronic disease. Creating a public health advertising campaign. Let's make being healthy cool and sexy and expose the subversive practices of big food, big farming, and big pharma. Use the advertising techniques that best speak to the emotional needs of the consumer and our children. Supporting the creation of a health corps. Our goal should be to train 1 million health workers and champions in communities around the country by 2020. Through the act of getting healthy together, we can create a double revolution. Change the medicine we do, the lifestyle and functional medicine, and change how we do medicine in small support groups. This new workforce of community health workers could accompany and support individuals in making better food and lifestyle choices and cleaning up their homes, their workplaces, schools, faith-based organizations, and the environment. Take action. It's time to take back our health from the sick care system. Marcia Angel, former editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, wrote a scathing critique of the infiltration of big pharma into medical research, education, and health and drug policy. Aside from the $30 billion a year spent on marketing pharmaceuticals to physicians, known as, quote, continuing medical education, big pharma has turned many academic researchers into hired hands. Though leaders from academic medical centers are provided grants to do research contracted for by pharma, the research is often designed, executed, and ghostwritten by the funders. The conflict of interest statements of authors on research articles now often run several pages long. These authors not only receive grants, but also sit on corporate advisory boards, receive large speaking fees, and enter into patent and royalty agreements with pharma. It would appear that our evidence-based medicine isn't based on very good evidence. We have the power to change that. Fix perverse financial incentives in healthcare reimbursement. In New York City, a very successful diabetes prevention and treatment program was implemented. It resulted in fewer complications and hospitalizations and amputations, but the program was stopped by the hospital because its revenue dropped. Cutting off a diabetic toe and receiving $6,000 from Medicare is better than being reimbursed $100 for a nutrition consult. The system profits from having more sick and fat patients. Support real healthcare reform. We need to change not only insurance regulation, but also the type of medicine we do, meaning lifestyle and functional medicine, and how we deliver that care in small groups, in communities, and in healthcare organizations. During the healthcare reform process in Washington, D.C., Dean Ornish, Michael Roizen, and I were asked what organization we represented. We replied that we didn't represent anyone but the patients or anything but the science. They accepted it but looked perplexed. No wonder. During healthcare reform, the pharmaceutical industry had 3 lobbyists for every member of Congress and spent over $600,000 a day to make sure their needs were represented in the legislation. Mandate nutrition and lifestyle medicine training in medical schools and residencies. As we know, all of the major drivers of disease and healthcare costs are lifestyle preventable factors. If these factors were addressed, we could eliminate 90% of heart disease and diabetes. If we were successful in reducing heart disease by half, or reducing diabetes along with its complications by 80%, hospitals would go bankrupt. Pharma would see their profits plummet, and many physicians would be forced to start institutes of lifestyle medicine, not more heart surgery hospitals. Support and develop a modular, scalable nutrition curriculum. If food is our most powerful medicine, then educating healthcare professionals about nutrition is essential. We must develop and provide funding and support to a nutrition curriculum built for people in the healthcare industry. This will address the lack of supply of adequate experts. We could scale existing programs such as those provided by the Institute for Functional Medicine. Provide reimbursement for lifestyle treatment of chronic disease. Despite the support of nearly all the major medical societies who joined in publishing a review of the scientific evidence for lifestyle medicine and for the prevention and treatment of chronic disease, this approach is still not part of medical training or practice. We need to have lifestyle treatments like the one outlined in this book paid for if they are going to become part of mainstream medical practice. Develop more funding for nutritional science. Congress should mandate greater funding for nutritional science and examine and test innovative treatment models. Responsibility for dietary policy should be placed with an independent scientific group such as the Institute of Medicine instead of with the politically and corporately influenced United States Department of Agriculture. In the 1980s, they advised a low-fat diet food pyramid with at least 8 to 11 servings of bread, rice, cereal, and pasta a day, which coincided with the rapid increase in obesity and diabetes. It was lethal to mix politics and health recommendations. End irresponsible relationships between medicine and industry. Public health organizations such as the American Heart Association and the American Dietetic Association should avoid partnerships, endorsements, or financial ties with industry that compromises their independence and credibility. Coca-Cola sponsoring events at the American Dietetic Association or the American Heart Association promoting sugary cereals as heart healthy because they have a few grains of whole wheat, is that credible? Take back our health. Be part of the movement. Be part of the conversation. Any one act by any one individual or organization will not be enough to create change. I'm reminded of what Mother Teresa once said, "There are no great acts, only small acts done with great love. One step, one choice, one change at a time. One word, one action, one vote at a time." Go to takebackourhealth.org to take the first step. Join the movement, join the conversation, and learn how we can and must get healthy together. Conclusion: reversing the diabetes epidemic. 1 in 3 children born today in America will become diabetic if current trends continue. 1 in 2 Americans will have diabetes by 2020, and 90% won't know it. This is the world's biggest health epidemic, but it is nearly 100% preventable. We don't need more research. The 10-year follow-up of the Diabetes Lifestyle Prevention Trial and the current look-ahead trial using intensive group lifestyle treatment prove that lifestyle intervention in groups is more effective than medication in preventing diabetes. It is also the most powerful treatment if you already have diabetes or prediabetes. The science is clear. We have enough information to solve this problem now, but no one is calling for action or mobilizing a global campaign to address it. We fight AIDS and malaria and tuberculosis all across the globe. But when confronted with a problem that causes more deaths than all those infectious diseases combined, we're silent. My hope is that each of you will transform your biology from diabesity to vibrant optimal health. Then you will understand the power you have to change your genes and your health by changing what and how you eat, supporting your biochemistry and metabolism with supplements, moving your body, learning to deeply relax, and living clean and green. You have the power to avert health problems by learning how to support your body so it can function optimally. You also have the power to become part of a movement to take back our health, a clear solution using the power of food and lifestyle to prevent, reverse, and even cure most chronic illness, the cause of endless personal suffering and an unsustainable burden to our global economies and social fabric. We don't need new discoveries. We just have to apply what we already know so that our children and their children can live in a world free from diabetes, healthy, and fully engaged with life. The Blood Sugar Solution is a personal plan for you to get healthy, for us to get healthy together in our communities, and for us to take back our health as a society. And it starts with each one of us. Part 6, The Blood Sugar Solution Meal Plan and Recipes. Let food be thy medicine, and medicine be thy food. Hippocrates. Chapter 28 and 29, Your 6-Week Meal Plan, Recipes, and Shopping Lists. While the guidelines you've been given throughout this book are enough for you to get and stay healthy on the Blood Sugar Solution program successfully, many people like to have a bit more guidance on what to eat. With the assistance of Deb Morgan, culinary inspiration and leader extraordinaire behind the Kripalu Kitchen, I've developed 2 weeks' worth of daily menus you can rotate over the course of the program. In reality, you can use any of the recipes for any day of the program. However, I've structured daily menus to keep the program nice and simple. To make it even simpler, follow the menus as outlined for the first 14 days. After 2 weeks of using these recipes, you'll have a good sense of what your body craves and how to nourish it properly. At that stage, you can mix and match recipes and daily menus for the remaining 4 weeks. For each week's recipes, I've created a comprehensive shopping list that will make it easy to shop for all the food you need to make these delicious and nourishing meals. Depending on your food preferences and cultural traditions, substitutions are possible. For example, vegan and vegetarian options can be substituted for those with animal proteins. Simply replace the animal protein in the recipes with tofu or tempeh or some other form of vegan protein. You will get the same benefits as long as you stick to high-fiber, nutrient-dense foods. All the recipes are permitted on the basic program, and most are appropriate or can be adapted for the advanced plan as noted. I've also provided tips for amazing do-it-yourself salads. There are also many more recipes online, including kid-friendly recipes at bloodsugarsolution.com. Following this plan should make healing from diabetes more fun and delicious. Enjoy. The meal plan, recipes, and shopping lists can be found in the companion PDF.
This has been a Gildan Audio production. For more affordable, life-changing audio programs, visit our website at gildanmedia.com.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.